the rest of the story. Martha's little boy was 9 years young in January of 1894 when diphtheria struck. Now, in those days, diphtheria was serious, sometimes deadly. The bacterium which caused it had been discovered only a decade previous, and antibiotics, antitoxin, immunization were as yet undiscovered. And so it was, with more than a little anxiety, that Martha and husband John nursed and watched and waited under the guidance of the best doctors in town. Dr. Lester prescribed Ipecac and whiskey. Dr. Twyman advised eating fresh snow. For a while, despite all medical science did not then know, the lad did seem to be recovering until one day he was sitting up in bed. He was sipping a glass of milk when, for no apparent reason, his throat clamped suddenly and tightly shut. Martha, ordinarily imperturbable, turned white at the sight of her helpless child struggling to breathe. She remembered the peach pit summers ago that had lodged in his throat. And now, as then, she probed with trembling fingers, trying to push whatever obstruction there was past its stranglehold. There was no obstruction, none that she could feel or see at any rate. For what had occurred was the beginning of the frequent second stage of diphtheria, paralysis. For diphtheria toxin, produced by the infection, too often courses through the bloodstream, wreaking havoc on the heart and the nervous system, sometimes inhibiting swallowing, even breathing. And so, though Martha's son did not suffocate that day, he quickly thereafter lost the ability to speak, lost the ability to move his arms or to move his legs. Even after the life-threatening crises of the disease were passed, the little boy could neither talk nor walk nor pick up a pencil to write. And that's why, for the weeks and months that followed, Martha, so as not to relegate her son to utter invalidism, wheeled him around in a baby carriage, out to the porch for fresh air and the warm sunlight of burgeoning spring, here and there about town, strolling, shopping, visiting, in a baby carriage. And the paralyzed youngster, though he appreciated his mother's gallantry and her unwillingness to banish him to a lonely bed, he just detested the feeling of helplessness. He detested that baby carriage. He promised himself that he would recover, he would take total charge of his circumstances, his dreams, his destiny. He would take charge no matter what. And he did. He kept his promise. And the self-confidence that arose from that determination would benefit his entire generation. Today's doctors, reviewing the case, realize how narrowly the boy had escaped death. And yet for him, the lasting significance of that harrowing experience was that for painfully impressionable months of his young life, nearly 10 years of age, he had watched the world go by from a baby carriage, and yet he lived to rise and to stand resolute in the withering light of history to become President Harry Truman. And now you know the rest of the story.